Good morning, everyone. Let's begin. First of all, a sincere thank you to the CCNSO for meeting with us this morning. It seems like it's been some time since we met with you, so I think we're due. We have a number of issues proposed for discussion this morning, beginning with the Framework of Interpretation Working Group. We did have a bit of discussion yesterday about this. So New Zealand will be leading on the GAC side on that topic, but I think the GAC is keen to hear what is happening with that working group and to see that work begin. And then followed by that, the CCNSO will discuss the strategic plan, the operational plan and budget that ICANN and highlight some of that work to us. I hope that that's an area where we can work with the CCNSO in the future. And then after that, an update on the names of countries and territories study group. And then the impact of new territory or geo GTLDs on CCTLDs. So we have quite a full agenda today. All right. So with that, can I hand over to Leslie?
Thank you, Heather. Good morning, everybody. For those of you who I don't know, I'm Leslie Cowley. I'm the new chair of the CCNSO. And thank you for having us back, Heather. We haven't been together for a while. We hear you've been a bit busy on some GTLD stuff. But we have a lot of different things apart from GTLDs that we can share with you. I'd like to hand over to Keith.
Good morning, and for those who don't know me, my name's Keith Davidson, and I'm the co-chair of the GEC CCNSO liaison group, and I'm not sure that there is a co-chair on the GEC side at the moment, and that's something we could discuss perhaps a little later on the agenda. We have prepared an agenda and have speakers for the various topics, and I wonder if we could pop through them in order, and as they are on screen. The screen in our CC room was very big, and in here it's very small, so I apologise for the size of the type. We do have a time allotment for the various items, and speakers attributed, so if we can make good progress, there should be a little bit of time left at the end for just general comments. And the first topic on the agenda was shared GAC and CCNSO priorities, and that's over to the two chairs.
Thank you, Keith. So we had some thinking around this and identified what we believe should be some shared priorities, particularly around security and stability, where we're doing quite a bit of work on the SSR review and also looking at security and stability directly. DNSSEC, an acronym that I'm sure you're familiar with. And as I know many of you will be aware, one of the key things we do at the CCNSO is actually share our CCTLD experiences. And just yesterday we had a very good presentation from a registry that had been hacked, and from a registry that has some very good experience in disaster recovery. And that information sharing is a particular value to both governments and to country codes, I'm sure.
Thank you for that. From the GAC side, the priorities that we've been discussing, I think, have been more along the lines of new GTLDs related and the ATRT recommendations. So I wonder whether we would have common goals in relation to the ATRT aspects. But of course, security and stability is something that governments are keen to ensure regarding the domain name system. And I think some issues that have come up recently in that sense are related to how we work with ICANN as a part of ICANN when there are lots of activities happening outside of ICANN, and law enforcement is one of those areas where ICANN has been conducting outreach, a great deal of outreach. But of course, law enforcement is our part of government, and we think that we are useful points of contact for this organization when needing to deal with governments, and we believe we can be useful to this organization. So I don't know whether any GAC members would like to comment on that particular priority, or yes, Australia, please.
Hi, my name's Peter Nettlefold. I'm the Australian GAC rep, and I'm also representing the GAC chair on the Who Is Review team. I think this is one area where we can potentially, I'd personally be interested in input from the CC community. The Who Is Review team has currently got a discussion paper out for public comment, and one of the areas where we would be seeking comment, if there is any best practice or better practice examples from within the community that could inform the review team's work. So I'd certainly be interested, and I believe the review team would be interested in input from the CC community on any examples or information that could be shared with the review team.
Thank you, Paul. As you'll be well aware, I'm sure that CCs often have different Who Is policies, but we have already had several presentations from the review team, and individual CCs I know will be making input where appropriate to comment.
Thank you. United States, please.
Thank you. And I don't mean to spend too much time on this issue, but I thought I would share with you a question that came to us during our meeting yesterday with GNSO registrars. And as you may well know, all of our law enforcement colleagues, respectively, have created some recommendations for amendments to the Registrar Accreditation Agreement and some other suggestions moving beyond that to a code of conduct. And we were briefed from the registrar perspective that a few of the target items that law enforcement has identified, they would find very challenging. And one of them was validating registrant data. And so they threw a question back to the GAC asking whether we could share our respective national experiences with our CCs. So I just thought I would throw that out to you because, of course, we all said, well, that seems like a reasonable thing to do. So I don't know that any of us have initiated that just yet, but I thought I would let you know. You'll all be probably hearing individually from your GAC counterparts so that we can help nudge the G registrar space a little bit closer to agreeing to a set of best practices. Thank you.
Thank you, United States. Did anyone else want to comment on this?
Thank you, Suzanne. I mean, I would encourage GAC members to liaise with their respective country code managers on that and a number of other issues. I was just going to add a final point. It's on the agenda anyway, but a major shared priority, one would hope, would be the work on the framework of interpretation, which we're just commencing, about the delegation and redelegation of country codes, and we'll cover that later.
Thank you. Are there additional priorities that the CCNSO would like to flag? No. Okay. So from the GAC side, I mentioned the ATRT recommendations, and one of the things that the GAC has also been working on with the board is a review of the role of the GAC. And so we've been looking in particular at the GAC piece of the policy development process. But we're very keen to take the experience of the new GTLD program and find a way to ensure that we don't arrive in a similar circumstance where we feel government advice is not being taken into account as appropriate and that's not happening early enough, and that the organization is not set up perhaps to really ensure that community consensus, full community consensus, is arrived at, which would include the role of governments. We're also keen to ensure better tracking of GAC advice. We're proposing a register as part of the Joint Working Group report, which we have finalized at this meeting, and that we will be submitting that to the board, and that will be put out to public comment, I believe. So to the extent that the CCNSO may have similar issues or concerns, if there are ways that we can work together to ensure the policy development process is working very well. And, of course, you have plenty of experience in leading PDPs as being an SO. So I would put that out to you.
Thank you, Heather. I think in danger of constructing the agenda for our next encounter, it would be useful to share your learnings from that experience at that time.
Thank you. UK, please.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning, everybody. I think it's in this discussion about our joint objectives and shared priorities and so on, I think it's worth underlining that virtually at every juncture in our policy discussions, we're very mindful of ensuring that ICANN is truly globally inclusive, that we have the outreach to stakeholders in developing countries, and when major initiatives like the new GTLD round comes along, that it is truly inclusive. So I'm sure this is an objective that the CCNSO, with its registries across the globe, would share. But I wonder if actually there is some scope for comparing notes as to the sort of barriers and problems that this community faces in ensuring that this is a truly global organization, that the policy development involves stakeholders from developing countries and their particular concerns and resource issues and so on are fully taken into account. So, as I say, I sort of put that on the table, really, as perhaps something to explore further between the GAC and the CCNSO, and maybe there are opportunities that we're missing through the country code registries or relationships with the country code registries that we could develop, or other ideas, or maybe even issues that we're not yet aware of. Thank you.
Thank you, UK. I have Egypt, and then we shall move to the next agenda item.
Thank you, Heather. Just to highlight another activity that is going on jointly between the GAC and the CCNSO, which is the IDN PDP working group. The working group used to have Yanis and myself, and now it's only me. I'm not sure if we would like to add someone else. But we went through a pause during the past period, waiting for some output from the IDN variants working group, which are being the case studies that have been created by the ICANN, and now we're trying to revive again the activities and see what can be done in parallel. So again, just highlighting that there is the IDN PDP activity going on.
Thank you, Manal. Okay, so Leslie, can I turn to you to introduce the next topic?
Okay, thank you. So the next topic was the ICANN strategic and operating plan, on which we had a great deal of interest in the country code community, and Roloff will speak as chair of that working group.
Okay, thank you, Leslie. I'll just make two remarks on the strategic planning process, because that's behind us, in fact, and we have just started the process for the next plan. One of our major comments was the process itself. This time there was no real respect from the side of ICANN for the deadline, so we really got into a tight time squeeze with the submission of our comments. And the second important remark we made on the strategic plan is almost absence of measurable objectives against which at the end of the plan could be determined if the objectives had actually been realized. That's also one of our major concerns in the present operational, or it isn't present operational plan because it's going to be put before the board on Friday, but the operational plan for 2012 has the same problem. After the first round of comments, there was some improvement in this field, but it still lacks, for a lot of activities and projects, measurable goals. Another concern from the CC community is the fact that costs increase at a far higher rate than the revenues, about double the speed, so to speak, because the costs have increased with 6.5% and the expenses with 13%, which also means that there is only a very, very small positive balance on the expense on the exploitation of 2012, and that again means that there will be no addition to the strategic fund, the reserve fund of ICANN, although that's an objective which is mentioned in the strategic plan. We have serious concerns about the way the cost allocation is calculated for the CCNSO community. We found out that there was a 2 million miscalculation in the first version of the plan, which is going to be corrected, but still we lack any detailed information on how this calculation is done, and you probably understand that we have some reservations about the correctness of this calculation if we ourselves find out that there is a 2 million mistake in there. We are still unclear about the grounds of the 21% increase in the cost of handling IDN CCTLD requests in 2012. We have very serious concerns about the absolute hate, but also the increase of the cost of professional services. If you look at the budget for 2012, including the GTLD launch, there's a 50 million post for professional services, which is about half of the whole budget, and we feel that ICANN is not equipped to cope with the management challenge that kind of a large group of professional consultants will put on the employed staff. And as a last remark, and we've been told that this problem is going to be solved at the beginning of next month, but the present financial software that ICANN is using does not give us, and also doesn't give the board, enough detailed information to really steer the organization on effectiveness and efficiency, at least not on financial effectiveness and efficiency. That was about it, Leslie.
Thank you very much for that, Roloff. Are there any questions or comments the GAC members would like to make? I think that the GAC has not been directly following this process that ICANN. However, I think it is still an important one for us because we take such an interest in the accountability and transparency mechanisms for the organization. And we do have the topic of funding money certainly brought to our attention on quite a regular basis. And so I had wondered myself whether there would be a way that the GAC could report its in-kind contributions to the organization. I know there have been concerns about noting that this is not an organization where governments directly contribute to. However, there are other ways in which we support this organization in a very meaningful and substantial way. So I don't see a question. Ah, Netherlands, please.
Thank you, Chair. And I also want to reiterate that, let's say, on our side, we didn't have followed this process so much. We had some other heavy stuff on our heads. That's true. But it's not an excuse. Still, with the report from Rulof, I get some very worried feeling. Basically, I get the message that this organization is really growing out of his jacket and bursting out of his jacket and in quite some uncontrollable direction financially and organizationally. What I wonder is, we have all this, this is more a general question, we have a couple of reviews, independent reviews, the HRT, who is, etc. I wonder if there's also a kind of independent, where does the necessity of having a kind of independent audit also on organizational matters, financial matters, is this somewhere lying in a, is this function somewhere, let's say, belegd in Rulof, in Dutch? Thank you.
Thank you for that. Leslie, did you want to respond?
Obviously not speaking for ICANN, but I'm aware they do have a professional audit. I think the issue here is around management accounting information, and certainly we, many CCs run equivalent size organisations, and as a practical way forward, have offered to share formats and styles of information in order that the board, who are very live to this issue, can take appropriate action.
Thank you. European Commission.
Thank you, and excuse me, thank you very much for quite an interesting presentation, actually. I wonder, ICANN's not a new organization. Am I right in thinking that this problem goes back several years, this lack of financial information and clarity on funding? Because it seems strange to me, actually, that you could expect the CCTLD community to... Well, I'm assuming, actually, are they asking you to pay more into this pot, actually? And do they not need your... Do they not need your approval to do that? It seems very strange, actually, that you would, that they would take this approach to not provide, you know, sufficient financial information and then come to you with a demand. Am I mischaracterizing it, actually? But I'm a bit surprised to hear that they're going to approve this on Friday and you haven't had time to... it was a late consultation, I think, and there's a lack of detail in the document. But, I mean, how is what's the process here? They don't need your approval, actually, to the cost that they project for CCNSO or CCTLD matters, and they just go ahead and send you the bill. Is that right? Thank you.
Keith, please.
Keith Davidson, and I think speaking from .nz perspective, historically, ICANN have been seeking to recover some of its fees from the CCTLD community, and I think my first experience was in the Melbourne meeting in 2002 or thereabouts, and ICANN thought of a number of $5 million and asked the CCTLDs to pay that. We suggested that there needed to be some greater openness and transparency and understanding of what the components of that $5 million was. And subsequently, we've not achieved any great degree of openness and transparency, and the figure has risen to a request of about $10 million. So there is an ongoing need for us to be able to quantify to ourselves the component costs. But the CCTLDs do pay either a contract fee for those who are on contracts or a voluntary fee based on a scale set of fees, which is not close to ICANN's expectation.
Just to add to that, Bill, so your point about the budget, no, the CCs don't have a veto over the budget, but we have made input to the ICANN board, whose role is to approve the budget. There is also a separate CCNSO working group looking at financial contributions that is waiting information from ICANN in order to inform that discussion.
Thank you, Leslie. Okay, so I had Denmark, Sweden, US, and Russia, please.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for a very interesting presentation, and I'm sorry that we haven't been able to follow this more closely. I think it's worrying, very worrying, that the budget and everything is, and the strategic plan is not transparent. It should clearly be so. It's ICANN should act in the public interest, and I mean they should act responsibly as well. And it's a problem if we are not able to track where the money goes, and if thank you.
Thank you, Denmark, Sweden.
Good morning, everybody. Anyway, thank you very much for the information. At least I want to echo, of course, what some of my colleagues said. These are figures and information that I actually wasn't aware of. And so my question is more like, what kind of process do we have for actually dealing with this kind of issue? I mean, there are some reviews that have been done and reported. There are some reviews going on. But in this kind of area, I don't know what kind of process or review there actually are. Maybe there are no process. So it's a question for you, CCNSOs, who seem to be very informed about this and have been following up this economical information. So what kind of action do we need to take, and what kind of action are you preparing to do, actually? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. There are public consultation processes for both the strategic plan as well as the operational plan and budget. The one for the operational plan and budget started, I think, in January this year. And, well, it's still ongoing. It's probably going to end this Friday. It started with what ICANN calls the operational plan framework that comes with a budget. We already had a problem there that the framework was only a few page document, very high level, and the budget was quite detailed. So for us it was very difficult to make connection between the written text and the amounts, so to say. But we made quite extensive comments on that version of the plan. And we received the second version, when was that, Bart?
17th of May.
And that's, well, that would be the version that ICANN staff would like to submit to the board, so it's quite detailed. There's a clear link between the budget and the plan. We made quite a lot of comments on that version again. In total, in fact, we submitted something like 26 comments, out of which 13, so that's 50%, so far have not been taken into account. I don't know how many other constituencies and individuals submitted comments on the budget process, but it's an open process, so like many others.
Thank you very much, Roloff. I have two more requests to speak from Russia and the UK, but clearly this is a topic that we can ask for an update on down the road. So with that, Russia, did you want to comment, or can we move to the next agenda item?
Not this item. I have one idea to share, but it's later. I think it's about next topic.
Okay, thank you. UK?
Thanks, Chair. Just very briefly then, on the fourth bullet about IDN costs, IDN CCTDLD requests and the costs of those. I mean, we talk up the success story of IDN CCTLDs, weave it into speeches for ministers and so on. This is a bit worrying. And be grateful for a follow-up note about what this is. Is this getting out of control, exerting a brake, you know. Anyway, that's what I would appreciate. Thanks.
Thank you, UK. I think that's a good question to ask the CCNSO. So, with that, can I ask us to move to the next agenda item, and who will be introducing the next? It's
Keith Davison and Frank Marsh.
Okay, please.
Thank you. And I have the joy of chairing the Framework of Interpretation Working Group. GAC will recall that we spent 2 years or so in the Delegation, Redelegation and Retirement Working Group, which had the main output of seeking a framework of interpretation to provide greater colour and depth to the issues of delegations and redelegations of CCTLDs. The working group is formed and has been meeting. It's a multi-constituency composition, members of the GAC participating fully. We have a GNSO rep coming on board, and we have an at-large rep on the committee, as well as a large number of CCNSO members and other CCTLDs. We've agreed our work plan and timeline, and are just about to proceed into our first real tranche of work with a meeting that comes up this Thursday from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. And of course our meetings tend to always be open to observers, so if there are people who have a specific interest in the topic, they're welcome along, and time dependent are able to put their questions. As a process issue, we meet very frequently between ICANN meetings, sometimes weekly. Our meetings are staggered 8 hours apart each time they happen to give everybody an opportunity to participate, since it's a working group of over 30 people from around the planet. And we have this very strict guideline that we will not make a binding decision on the basis of a single meeting on any matter of importance. So that gives everyone the opportunity to, as long as they're participating in 2 out of the 3 meetings, everybody will have the ability to say yes or no to any decision along the way. Our preference is that we produce a draft paper for the working group to consider. It's in the working group's hands a week before the call. We go through that paper in some detail on the first call to iron out any major bugs, and it probably should be noted that at that point, once it's had its first reading, it is quite appropriate to circulate that draft more broadly for broader input and so on. We understand the GAC may not be able to keep up with the ebb and flow of the drafting and documentation as it happens, but there are strategic points in the work plan where we will go out to public consultation, and they are probably the points where all of the GAC should be strongly interacting with us. And the time frame for this working group is about 2 years in total. We're tackling several issues chronologically in a way, and the first major topic that comes up on Thursday is the terminology used by ICANN and IANA in their delegation and redelegation reports. And that's it from the CCNSO side.
Thank you very much, Keith. New Zealand.
Thank you, Heather, and thanks, Keith. Just to note that the GAC discussed the work plan yesterday, is happy with it, I think, falls short of endorsing it. And if we are going to exercise any early influence on the work of the working group, it might be to make some of the papers more accessible to ordinary readers. Going to 5 bullet points depth gets a little tricky for some of us. However, it's I think we can accept the fact that the working group is going to go ahead and is open to mid-course correction as necessary, and we'll be there to provide that if and when. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Leslie?
In view of the timeline, can I suggest, given it's a two-year project, we update you periodically when we next meet on that? Thank you. We'll move on then to a very brief update on... Sorry? I'm so sorry.
Singapore, please.
Thank you, Chair. And first of all, sorry, excuse me. We would like to thank Keith and his team for the very comprehensive and the detailed work you've done. And we know that you have come through the several documents, the RFC 1591 and the news memo sponsorship agreement and ISO 31661. This, I think, is a very comprehensive piece of work, and we were very thankful to you. And we would like to support, you know, your approach, your proposed approach in carrying your work forward. Just one clarification that we would like to seek from the team is that in your methodology, you propose a facial approach addressing issue by issue, and therefore I think you need 2 years to complete the study. Is it possible for the issue to be addressed simultaneously or combine some issue to be discussed so that you can shorten the time of your team's work? Thank you.
Keith, please.
Some issues are able to be addressed simultaneously, but it's a question of breaking our work into pieces that can be handled in a logical way. For example, just the terminology paper that we're considering on Thursday is a 43-page, quite detailed document. So it's it's like eating an elephant. You just have to do it one bite at a time. And I think to rush or try and do too much at once will lead to mistakes or oversights. So I think we having been through the work plan twice, everyone's in agreement that the time frame is about right and there's not too much more simultaneous work that could happen.
Thank you. I have Italy.
Yeah, a simple question about lifetime and the scope of the working group in the medium term, let's say, or long term. And if you consider the fact that also looking at the IANA NOI, this group inside the CCNSO could become a little bit operational, let's say, with some result. Being CCNSO, certainly an organization that is international, that is authoritative, and could well play a role in doing things, let's say, and concerning the problems connected to redelegation and things like that. So this might have a great policy meaning.
Keith?
Yes, I take aboard your comments. Of course, what we're looking at is the policies and trying to provide colour and depth to the policies, but inevitably that spills into what procedural or what process changes ICANN and IANA might undertake. But we have IANA people on the working group who I think will be, as well as guiding us, will be looking at the processes as an internal operational function. So it's outside of our scope.
Thank you for that. UK.
Thanks very much. Just very briefly, Keith, you mentioned strategic opportunities for consultation, and just to sort of underline willingness to engage in that, and if you could give us as much lead time as possible, because some of us will have to consult within administration, some of us have territories, you know, not only our national registry, but we've got the UK's got many territories to consider as well. So what I didn't quite get from the work plan set out of here was some sort of markers, you know, we're going to need GAC input here and there. So if you can sort of bear that sort of request in mind, that we need some lead time and sort of advance warning and allowance for the fact that some of us will have to do fairly extensive consultations. Thanks.
I'm happy to undertake a more clarified timeline in a brief sense for the GAC. That's not a problem. I think the other issue is that what we're trying to do with our work program is actually develop chapters, you know, discrete chapters of the framework as we go. So I think the timelines of the ICANN meetings are generally the points at which we are going into public consultation rounds in any case, and I'm sure this will occupy considerable time going forwards in the joint sessions.
So just to add to that response, the CCNSO is developing a work plan for all of its work, and also very mindful of where elements of our work go into other constituencies or cut across, etc. And so I'm sure we can come back to you with more flesh on that plan as regards this particular working group.
Thank you, Leslie. The GAC is also going to be developing its own work plan, so hopefully we can do the same to look at the work that you're undertaking and where those linkages are. So I think at this point we can probably move to the next agenda item. So who will be introducing this?
Very quick update on the names of countries and territories studied group from BACT, please.
Good morning. It's a bit weird to do this as an ICANN staffer, but the reason is that the working group still hasn't nominated its chair, and therefore it's not appointed. So, and secondly, although they've been working on some topics, the CCDO sent out an invitation to the GAC to participate and invite to appoint observers or members, you know, what is more in according to their rules. So hopefully at some time in the near future we can welcome some GAC members on this topic, because I think there is a very common interest in how the different policies work out with regard to the use of country names and territory names as TLD, and that is precisely the purpose of this working group. So just a brief overview of what this working group is about. It looks at current and proposed in this case is means only the IDN overall policy, IDN CCTLD overall policy for allocation and delegation of country names and territory names as TLDs. So the overview, and the overview is already in a draft version available for the working group members, so that bit has been done, but that's the easy one. The more interesting one, and that's where we probably the working group needs the expertise and the input from the GAC, from the governmental perspective, is, okay, once you have these policies, how do they work out with regard to the different type of country names? Everybody is clear there is a official name for countries, and as I'm Dutch, I will use the example of the Netherlands. The Netherlands is the formal name, and some people would call it Nederland, that's in Dutch. But then you have the issue, how would you call, what is the status of, for instance, Netherlands in German, Nederland? What do we do with it? According to the current policy and typology, after the first round, it could be used as a new GTLD. Then you have, so that's one category. Then you have another category, which is called Holland. If you have Holland, some people would say, yeah, that's a very good name for the Netherlands, because people know it. Although I'm Dutch, it doesn't represent me as a Dutchman. I live very close to the German border, and if people would say to me, I'm a Hollander, or a Belgian would tell you, you're a Hollander, he refers to a very rude, loud-mouthed person. So you have some issues there. So that's just for the Netherlands, and I know this because I'm Dutch. So we need to create this typology, and we need to understand how the different policies apply to these country names in order to to see where there are loopholes, etc., in the current policies, and the working group has to, or that's the goal in the end, has to suggest ways forward to deal with it. So either it could be a PDP, it could be a suggestion to the board, so recommendations both in principle to the CCNSO Council, but in fact to all the probably to all the participating organizations, SOs and ACs. At this stage, the working group has members from the CCNSO, GNSO, ALAC, and as I said, we are waiting if the GAC would accept the invitation to participate in whatever manner is they would prefer. That's all.
Thank you very much for that, Bart. I believe the next topic should further illustrate some of the substance work and may address some of the questions that the GAC has on this. So let's move to the next. So who will be introducing this item?
Thank you, Heather. So this is the impact of GTRDs on CCTRDs, and we have Ornolf from Norway and Annabeth Lange from .no.
Thank you. Shall we just sit here and do it from here? That's okay. I'll just make a short introduction to the subject. In this regard, as we have discussed, there are national sovereignty issues regarding using of geographical names, from the Norwegian government perspective, the geographical TLDs do have a national identity, and therefore it's utmost importance to being able to influence how these are run and under what conditions. And that's also why our ministry actually formed a working group last year to go through and how the Norwegian government should deal with this kind of TLDs, and that's something we can also come back to, but of course we don't have time to do that in detail here. Therefore, it is also important to focus on the support and non-objection in this regard, because when you have give support, you can then empower the governments to set the terms and conditions under these TLDs are going to operate under, or you can then decide to just give a non-objection and then possibly waiver your influence. But that would, of course, be according to national policy. So it's really, that's really a national decision if you want to then be able to set conditions and what conditions do you want to then set on this geographical TLD. And I think that would very much be based on what conditions do the existing CCLD, TLD operate under in your country. So that would probably vary very much in each country. we can talk a little bit about more sort of what criteria and what conditions you want to set, but we can do that a little bit afterwards, maybe do some discussion on that. I think I'll just leave it to Annabeth, which also participated in the working group from the registry side and from the government side. We were Elisa and myself from the regulator, and we also had some other participants from other authorities and businesses and consumer protection in Norway. Thank you.
Good morning. Those who don't know me, I am Annabeth Lange from the Norwegian Registry.no. And from the registry's point of view, it is important that these things are sorted out from the governmental point of view. In Norway, we operate under a legal framework, and relative similar conditions for a new GOTLD will, of course, be easier for us to handle than to have another GOTLD in competition with different conditions. The first thing I would like to say is that it's important that the government, they have been given the possibility to give support on non-objection in the applicant guidebook and in this what we've discussed with ICANN. And the first thing is for a country to decide which authority should give that support. I've had some questions from people here in this meeting that what if someone comes to one local government out in the countryside and nobody knows, and they send a letter to the ICANN that we give the support, and the central government doesn't know anything about it. So I would advise each country to sort out in their country to send a letter to ICANN and say that if you get an application for a GTLD, a GTLD that is under that regime with the support non-objection, this support or non-objection letter should come from X ministry. So they know that in advance and you don't have complications afterwards. That would be a good start. As Ernil said, it will differ from country to country what kind of criteria we want to set. What we have done in Norway, that's Norwegian, but in another country, they will like to do something else, or perhaps just keep their hands off and say non-objection. For the existing CCTLD, I see a new GTLD in the market could be an incentive for the CCTLD as well, to do what they do even better. If they have a competitor that's more close to what they do today than .com or the other GTLDs that's non-geographical. So, and if the newcomer does a good job, then it might be even more business for the old, safe CCTLD. They know what they have, and if they are doing a good job, that might be a good thing for them as well. So I'm not that afraid for competition. I think it will be quite exciting. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that presentation. That was very interesting. Did you want to add something, Norway?
Yes, just sort of very quickly, we have written a report and it's also available in English, and I'll be happy to just forward the link to the GACT for them to see. But just to very quickly to just summarize some of the sort of conditions that we identified as very important for us if we want to give a letter of support. And we sort of decided that if we should, well, we haven't really sort of, the ministry has not sort of made a final recommendation on the policy yet, but the recommendations we made that were that it's quite important to have a national jurisdiction over the this geographical TLD, and therefore we would recommend to have a separate private law agreement with the registry in addition to the current regulation. And also we have made proposals for since we have a regulation in Norway on domain names, we also have made proposals for amending that regulation. And there are other issues that's quite important to ensure that do we want to have equal or quite equal treatment or conditions for this DOTLD. So that's quite an important issue as well. And also then to ensure consumer protection issues and security dispute resolution procedures which they operate under. So these are several things that we highlighted would at least be important for the Norwegian government to set these terms and conditions if we will give a letter of support. But of course it's more elaborated in the report that we've made. Thanks. Any questions? We're happy to answer.
Thank you very much, Norway. Keith, did you want to comment?
Two comments. Just with regard to links, wherever or for the entire session today, I have a slide at the end with links, so I'll provide the presentation to the GAC Secretariat and CCNSO Secretariat afterwards, so those links would be there. Could I just comment that I was very fortunate to be in Norway 2 weeks ago and attend a very detailed discussion on Norway's development of their position on GOTLDs, and I have to say it was a fascinating discussion that demonstrated to me how to develop a principles-based framework that is just very useful. So whether or not New Zealand would agree with the Norway government position doesn't matter. What we do have is a list of well-thought-out principles that we can apply to our own jurisdiction and consider suitable to us. So I think this document is very well worth reading, and it's well worth following up with Norway as to how they developed this. It's a most interesting process. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Keith. I know Canada is doing thinking about this, so I think we would really welcome taking advantage of the work that you've carried out on this topic. Did you want to follow up on that, Norway?
Yes, and also one important issue here is now with the inclusion in the applicant guidebook that ICANN will comply with a court decision, legally binding court decision, in the jurisdiction of that has given the letter of support. We have, of course, now the possibility to enforce a breach of these conditions that we actually set nationally. So that's a really important part of this whole framework. Thank you.
Thank you. Annabeth, did you want to add?
Just to inform you that if you're going to have the same work in your country to make that report or use the principles, in our view, it's important to have participation from all parts of the internet society or the internet community. So we had representations from the consumers, from the trade organizations, from the patent offices, from the university working with these kind of questions, and then of course the government was in the lead, and then we as a registry were asked to be there to share our competence or the things we have of experience from this field. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I have Germany, and I believe I saw a request at the end of the table, and then we have Denmark and then UK.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much for this presentation. It is quite helpful, and also for our country, which we are also discussing some geographic top-level domains, and we have also internally quite some discussion on that. One remark I want to share is that it is not only ICANN that has to be informed about the level of government that is responsible for filing this non-objection letter. First of all, it is the applicant who needs to know who is responsible in the government. And I would expect that if the applicant adds this letter to his application, and ICANN was not sure whether this is adequate signature of the letter, then I think it would be normally the probably GAC representative who would be able to explain to what extent there lies a responsibility. And maybe we have in our country politically another organization. We are a federal state and a federal country with federal states, and we don't have a central decision on non-objection or introducing GTLDs or no. That will be made by the local communities, and therefore it would not be possible just to file all representatives or possible responsibles for filing these kinds of letter. I also want to welcome the report from Norway because it is very, very helpful for the discussion, because it brings together all information. And as I mentioned before, we have some communities, some cities, some federal states who are now, let's say, confronted with action. They have to react on initiatives from private sector and see how they position themselves. And that brings me to another aspect, which is, from my point of view, quite important. It is the aspect that we have stakeholders in this process who are not part of the ICANN community. And I hope during the information campaign of ICANN there is a possibility for some kind of exchange with these communities, because they depend on news they receive from either the GAC members or from publications on in the net, but sometimes they really have in-depth question, technical question, which are better to be discussed with the people making the decision and the administrative work on introducing new GTLDs. Thank you.
Thank you. Germany. Is it Uganda at the end of the table? It's such a long table.
No, it's not. It's DRC.
My apologies, please.
Okay. My name is Chris Chimanga. I'm the administrative manager for the CCTLD .cd. Just a quick comment on what Aneth Beth just indicated in terms of the government providing input in terms of any change which might occur during probably on the GTLD. But my comment is as follows, because we in a challenge of I can see that we are beating a different world. Excusing myself to say that, because on our side, somehow we do have government which change. Can even change in a 3 to 6 months or in a year, depending, and which might not be the case probably on what you emphasize in terms of the getting the government or the ministry comment on a particular issue. But I would like also by going out from this meeting just to know what the GAC could think of such scenario where, like, the minister can not just probably comment or give maybe a positive input in terms of the community, way forward or understand the way they understand the issue, but could prevail on his sentiment. I just want to know what the GAC or, you know, with, what could be the solution to such a such way. Thanks.
Thank you very much for those comments. I'll continue through the speaking order. Okay, we have next Denmark, please.
Thank you, and thank you, in a way, for the interesting presentation. I just wanted to inform that in Denmark we've taken great inspiration from Norway and from the Norwegian model of setting up a working group, and I think there's been three meetings already, and we'll try to answer some very hard questions, and there are many of them when you dig into this subject, and I hope we'll get some outcomes of how we should proceed, some recommendations for how this process in Denmark should happen. So I'm hoping to be able to give you some updates later on. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Denmark, UK, you are next, and then Kenya.
Thank you very much, Chair. Yes, this is a very helpful exchange. We in the UK government are starting to get to grips with what this all means and what we have to do. We've taken the decision already that all approvals or statements of non-objection will be provided by the national government, by my ministry. So we've taken that decision, so that any proposal for a name, for a village, city, county, region, country of the Union, like Scotland, Wales, and so on, and there are there are proposals that we are aware of, and indeed we've been reaching out to the proposers of those geo names. All will have to get approval from our ministry, so we're contemplating quite a significant workload. We know we will have to consult widely within our administration, and issues like consumer protection and so on, which came up, will be elements in those consultations, certainly. And I would also like to follow Germany in appreciating Norway for that paper. Actually, it's going to be very interesting for us to look at as we formulate our processes within the government to handle handle our role in looking at these proposals and providing a statement of support or non-objection, if appropriate, of course. So I think there's a lot of value in this kind of exchange and sharing of best practice and so on. This is kind of new territory, dare I say, for us all, in a way. So it's a very useful exchange, and I'm very happy to inform as our processes are refined, and if we come across questions that we anticipated, we will gladly liaise with the CCNSO and with GAC colleagues on this very important development in the market, as we've been describing earlier on. Thanks very much.
Thank you, UK. I have Kenya and Greece.
Thank you, Heather, and thank you, CCNSO, for the very productive exchanges and also for the very interesting report. Kenya has been leading process or a study just looking at how to strengthen African CCTLDs, and we are going to share that report at a later date with CCNSO as well as at the IGF, and perhaps some of the findings much later, and some of the issues coming up that are very important are around consumer protection as well as the role of governments. But to take us back to a general question around the new GTLDs and the fact that most of they are going to be crowding the marketplace, we are beginning to look at the fact that the role of registries will become much more significant, with CCTLDs perhaps being subjected to the same market pressures, and while this may strengthen the stronger CCTLDs, we are concerned that it may actually impact, albeit negatively, on those of us that have, CCTLDs that are growing. So it's a question, and perhaps it's been dealt with, and perhaps this, you know, CCNSO is not the right place, but it's just a question that I'd like to put out to see how we can assist as we are talking about providing support for developing countries for the new GTLD program, not to lose sight of the fact that some of our CCTLDs, especially in the African continent, not only need redelegation but also need support just to strengthen them from a security perspective and a consumer perspective and also from a policy perspective. Also, a great concern for us is the financial impositions, which I think we haven't taken those discussions, you know, very far, but the likelihood of financial impositions by ICANN on CCTLDs is going to pose serious problems for some of our CCTLDs, and I'm wondering whether, you know, the CCNSO has a joint or has a strong, you know, response to that vis-à-vis, again, the introduction of new GTLDs. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kenya. Leslie.
Thank you, Alice. To respond to that, we would be very interested in having you to the CCNSO to talk about the report and the issues you've identified from that.
Thank you. Greece, you are next.
Thank you, Chair. Two very brief points. I'm a member of the GAC representing the Greek National Regulatory Authority, which also has the regulatory and policy responsibility for .gr, so the Greek CCTLD. And I would be very interested in getting the English version of the Norwegian paper, because we are also in this thinking of support giving in relation to geographic GTLDs and in relation to the CCTLD in Greece, so we have this competence. Second point is I will attempt a quick answer to the question which was made three or four speakers ago by our colleague down the table. I think that in every country it is for the national law, the national procedures, to determine how the support procedure will be given, whether it will be a minister having his own personal views or there is a law. It's up to the national legislation or national system to determine. I don't think this is something that either the GAC can determine or ICANN. It's a national matter. Thank you.
Thank you for that. I don't see any further requests for the floor. So Norway, I see, and Bart. Okay, Norway.
Yeah, just a quick response to Germany's comments that we also made in this report, a sort of introductory section as well, what could be, of course, information for sort of non-ICANN participants. So just introduction to the whole process. So, yeah.
Thank you, Bart.
This is more a promo. This afternoon, the CCNSO will have a panel discussion precisely on this topic. Annabeth and Norwegian GAC, so Orlof, will be on the panel, and this will be one of the aspects of the discussion and some others as well. And as always, the CCNSO meetings are open for all who want to attend.
Thank you very much for that invitation. So NOGAC members have a choice between communique drafting and attending a dynamic panel on an interesting topic. So, okay. UK, you had a short remark.
Thanks very much. Yes, just very briefly, perhaps something for future discussion is the role of governments after approval, after delegation, which we haven't really touched on here this opportunity, but... we could discuss that in a future time. Thanks.
Thank you. Did I hear 2 o'clock for the time of the panel? 2:30?
My agenda says 2 o'clock.
3:30.
Okay. All right. So we have a couple of follow-up items for our next meeting with the CCNSO, as I can see. The GAC can update regarding its ATRT
work and joint working group report related to the policy development process and such. And then the CCNSO can update around the framework of an interpretation working group when we meet next as well. Okay, so there are a couple of quick items still to run through. Okay.
Thank you, Heather, which leads us very nicely into the GAC and CCNSO Liaison Committee. With an update and a request, please.
Thank you, I guess the holiday the CCNSO has had in terms of meeting with the GAC in the last couple of ICANN meetings has led us to rethink about our joint GAC CCNSO liaison work. And under the CCNSO charter, we have this liaison group required to work with the GAC on issues of common interest. And I think this is not really probably something that we'd want to discuss here, but rather leave with you. But we would appreciate an understanding back from the GAC as to the expectations of the liaison. Should the liaison group continue, or should just the chairs meet and set just an agenda for the meeting? Should there be a greater degree of liaison on topics of mutual interest, that doesn't happen in working groups and so on? So could we please ask the GAC to give that some consideration and bring it back to the next meeting? Thank you.
Yes, we can do that. We have been discussing within our committee how to interact with other parts of the community, including the CCNSO. As you know, we have, in effect, four GAC representatives that have been working on the framework of interpretation working group. And as pardon me, Egypt has mentioned, we have a liaison regarding the longer-term IDN, CCPDP, and so on. But we haven't fully addressed, I think, this question of of how we organize on topics versus preparing for meetings like this with the CCNSO. And I am certainly very keen to do as much preparatory work for these sessions as possible, and that way we can make the best use of the time that we have together when it's at such a premium. So unless any GAC members would like to add to that, no. Okay.
Thank you, Heather. We share that commitment. So just to complete our little presentation set for today, we would like to cover the response we made on the Security and Stability and Resilience consultation, which is Paul, right down the very end there.
Greetings from the other end of the world. I'll try and keep this very brief, and by way of introduction, I'm Paul Schindler from AUDA. It's nice to finally find my way back to this table. This is just a really quick update on a process that now is essentially closed. And as GAC members would be aware, ICANN called for comments back in May on their framework for security, stability and resilience work for 2012. The CCNSO Council made a fairly concise submission that sought clarification on a number of issues that we felt lacked detail. As a general comment, the CCNSO noted that the consultation time frame, which was really little over a month, was probably somewhat suboptimal for an area of work within the ICANN budget that accounts for somewhere around 17% or $12 million. This is particularly important given that the SSR is still a relatively new work area for ICANN, and that better engagement would probably allay a lot of stakeholders' concerns and confusion about ICANN's intention in this space, and would also help ICANN draw on the existing expertise that exists in the community. The other major focus of our commentary was on planning, preparation and communication. We called on ICANN to undertake appropriate preparations that make sure that the very broad directions that exist in the ICANN bylaws and, as appropriate, in the affirmation of commitments are actually translated into specific work programs that have been appropriately prioritised and are based on clear evidence and analysis. In particular, the CCNSO proposed that the SSR work should be underpinned by a detailed environmental scan of the current internet security ecosystem. That sort of analysis, we felt, would help ICANN to avoid duplicating existing efforts, undertake subsequent gap and impact analyses, and identify exactly where ICANN's narrow remit would help it appropriately facilitate improvements. We also asked them to do the usual sort of thing you would expect in this type of work, define benchmarks, objectives, milestones, which would help build on more detailed budgeting and a mechanism for assessing what they define as success and whether they've achieved it. Finally, we also asked for some important definitional clarification. So exactly what ICANN means when they say DNS operations or when they propose capacity building work, what does that mean and how does that relate to existing security related capacity building work that CCTLDs and others already do, and what they mean by work programs such as who is internationalized registration data or IDN variant case studies or technical evolution of who is. So even though it was only a 3 or 4 page submission, you can see we covered quite a few issues. What I haven't mentioned or put up there is that ICANN's response to the public comments it received was a fairly brief staff summary. And now the framework will continue, largely unaltered, to the ICANN board for approval at the end of this meeting. And that was everything I had. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that, Paul. Are there any questions or comments on that? UK, please.
Thanks very much, Paul. Just a comment. I mean, that those criticisms really rubbish the whole process. Like poor definitions, not well prepared, planned, doesn't consult effectively, and was too short. Yeah. That's quite an indictment.
Perhaps the diplomacy of the original response was lost in my attempt to shorthand it, but...
thank you very much. We will be meeting with the Security, Stability and Resiliency Review Team as well this week, so that's another related track of work, and I expect they would be interested in the work that you've carried out. European Commission.
Yes, thank you. I'd like to echo the comments made by the UK, and I wonder if we've missed anything, actually, in terms of criticism. But joking aside... if this was a marginal activity of ICANN's, you know, then maybe those weaknesses actually would be less worrying. But it appears to account for 17% of ICANN's overall budget. I mean, that's a huge slice of the projected level of activity that ICANN have. I think this is deeply worrying, actually, that for that kind of level or percentage of budget activity, that they have consultation periods of approximately 1 month. And that key strategic stakeholders, such as CCTLDs, feel marginalized in this way from the decision-making process. That's of deep concern, actually, to me, that such a huge chunk of ICANN's activity appears to be so poorly prepared and ill-defined. And I'd add, on such an important issue for governments, I think most of us know that at the top of our list, or near the top of our list, is security and stability. And so putting those together, I find this quite shocking, actually, and I'm very grateful to CCNSO for drawing our attention to it. Thank you.
Thank you. Leslie, did you have a comment?
Yes, thank you, Bill. I think it's fairly clear, as will be obvious, we've identified a number of areas for concern, and we also have some good ideas about ways in which some of these issues can be remedied, so it's not beyond hope. As it were. I think it's also useful to highlight to you that we are very heavily engaged in the SSRT review team. We have some excellent representatives, one of whom is a member of my staff, of course, on that team, and the CCNSO have been and will be continuing to engage with that review towards a more longer-term improvement, and no doubt there will be a series of recommendations from that review.
Thank you, Leslie. I can see the
GAC participant, Kenya, taking notes. So we also, of course, have a participant in the review team. So this is particularly useful to shape our thinking about these issues. So thank you. I can see DOC. No, okay. All right. So with that, can we conclude the meeting? Yes. All right. So thank you again. United States, please.
Thank you, and my apologies to all for holding us back, but I did want to go back. It sort of relates to the substance of this particular issue, but if I could go back to the previous agenda item, the issue of liaisons, just to let the CCNSO know that we have just completed a revised draft of the GAC Board Joint Working Group report on the role of the GAC within ICANN. It's a very long title. But there is a section that addresses the issue of liaisons. And we have several recommendations that sort of throw out some issues for us to consider jointly with the SOs and the ACs. And as you can appreciate, one of the challenges that the GAC has is that we are here to cover all of the ICANN community and all of the ICANN issues. And I think as you have probably learned today in your presentations, we are, you know, a little bit thin on the ground here, to put it mildly. So in throwing out some of the issues you have, and your very focused coverage of the budget situation, of the security, stability, resiliency, one thing I'd like to throw out, and maybe at our next meeting, so I'm adding an agenda item, is we brainstorm a little bit on how to partner on some of these issues, because it seems crystal clear we have a lot of shared interests and concerns, where I'm not sure that our positions would be very far apart, if at all. And it might be useful, because we need to maximize the resources. We're basically struggling, I think, and trying to just keep abreast of all of the issues. So as we try to do our priority ranking, I think it does kind of relate to the issue of liaisons and how do we manage that. So once that report is out, I think you might find some of those ideas we've thrown out interesting to look at, and we would certainly welcome your feedback, because you may come up with some more interesting options. But I didn't want us to part company without flagging that issue. Thank you.
Thank you very much, U.S. So with that, I'd like to thank very much the CCNSO for meeting with us today. It's been very beneficial, and so I think it's really a pleasure to get back to talking about some of these issues with the CCNSO.
Thank you, Heather, and thank you, Suzanne. So we're coming back. We already have at least 3 agenda items for next time. Thank you.
Great. Okay. Thank you. For GAC members, there is a Commonwealth meeting scheduled for 1 o'clock in this room. Is that right, Malta?
Yeah, we could do that if the Commonwealth representatives, we could really meet here at the end of the morning session for about 10 minutes to talk about the plans for the coming IGF and the heads of government meeting later in October. So at the end of the morning session, for about 10 minutes. Thank you very much.